910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The White House says President Biden's at Camp David working with many advisors on debate prep for this Thursday. On his assumed opponent, Mr. Trump, ABC's Rachel Scott.
Even though the former president was out on the campaign trail essentially saying that he has no debate strategy, in reality, he is preparing more than he is actually letting on. I'm told he's had more than a dozen informal policy sessions with current and past advisors as well as Republican allies.
The Biden administration expected to announce more military aid for Ukraine, according to a U.S. official. Protests on both sides of the abortion issue outside the Supreme Court 2 years since the justices overturned Roe v. Wade, urging the House to use its long dormant power of inherent contempt to have Attorney General Merrick Garland brought to the chamber for trial. Florida Republican Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna, this over refusal to send the sound recording of President Biden's interview with special counsel Robert Hur. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service is confirming at least six tornadoes touched down in southern Wisconsin Saturday. Communities hit include Janesville, Marshall, Watertown, Lake Geneva, Delavan, and Tennyson. A likely tornado destroyed an historic church in Argyle. Apple Grove Lutheran Church was founded in 1893. Democrats are reminding voters what's at stake on this, the second anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski.
President Biden is ready to sign Tammy Baldwin's Women's Health Protection Act that would make Roe v. Wade the law of the land. And he's been very clear. Politicians should not be making our health care choices.
Many Republicans say abortion is a matter best left to states. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. One person was killed and two others critically injured in a Sawyer County rollover crash over the weekend. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, the crash occurred on Highline Road in the town of Bass Lake. Three passengers were ejected from the car, 19-year-old Reese Frederick of Hayward, a 16-year-old, and a 17-year-old. Frederick was pronounced deceased at the scene, and the other passengers were taken to the hospital. The 20-year-old driver was arrested, as authorities believe speed and alcohol were factors. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has declared a peacetime emergency due to flooding issues that left a number of roads around the Northlands underwater. According to a Northern News Now report, the declaration authorizes the Minnesota National Guard to be deployed to assist in flood recovery operations if local municipalities find they don't have the numbers or equipment to address the flooding damage. Last week, St. Louis County declared a state of local disaster to let them pursue federal or state funding for cleanup efforts. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers beat the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers breaking up a three-game losing streak in San Diego, finally coming up with a win, 6-2 over the Padres. Things got started in the second inning with Sal Frelick at bat on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
2-2 the count. And a base hit into left field. Ortiz on his way as Adames will score. Ortiz will go into third. And it'll be an RBI single for Sal Frelick.
The Brewers scoring five runs in the second against the Padres right-hander Michael King, manager Pat Murphy.
We got a little lucky, didn't we? Some of the hits fell in and some of the grounders got through, opposite field grounders and a couple bloops. And King's good, man. That guy's good. Guy can pitch.
The Crew opening a home series tonight against the Rangers. Hockey, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. The Florida Panthers host the Edmonton Oilers with the Stanley Cup on the line. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong with heavy rainfall, damaging wind gusts, and large hail. A low in the low 60s. Sunshine's back for tomorrow, less humid but still warm with highs in the low 80s. Beautiful Wednesday, sunny and low 70s. Right now it's 80.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time where our friend and executive producer of Civic Media, Mr. Luke Mathers, is in for a Tuesday tangent to talk about the upcoming presidential debate, weather, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, there it is, Monday. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, back after a long weekend. Johnny Lupinacci, man, we are glad to have you back, you know, out there.
Yeah, on the road, but technically in the air. But, you know, I'm back in the saddle, so couldn't be happier to start the week off. Man, what a week.
What a week ahead of us. But I tell you, what's most important is to see you there with your gear. In tech, because you were bringing your gear and it was lost in flight, and we were like, "What is Johnny?"
Wasn't Lupinacci? Lost. It's never arrived at the same. I to be fair to the airlines, I hit a number of cities in a short amount of time, and so once it fell behind, it just kept traveling and missing me. And then it was here when I landed back in Washington, and you know, I got off the plane and went and picked my gear that never quite made it to me, but beat me home.
Nice.
And so I picked it up, and yeah, I'm all back in the home studio. And
if people are watching on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, you can see Johnny's got his mic, he's got his headphones, he's looking good. Johnny, you know what's great though?
Well,
come on,
if we're on the same page, I'm thinking, man, would it be nice if you and I could just head down and have a brew. Company Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Monaco Brewing Company. Those guys are big time advocates for public education. They're always working hard to build community and make great beer. You know what, Tim? What's funny about them is they brag they're the most sued brewery in America for good reasons, because they're taking on some big giants. But the Monaco Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MonacoBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Ah, there you go. Man, that's exactly why it's great. Monaco Brewing Company. But Busted Pencils, I tell you, Johnny, it was a week last week. You know, we ended with, I just go with the end, you know, Louisiana put in the Ten Commandments. Had to talk about that. But the other really big news, CNN last week dropped a major story. They did the research. It was finally about time to see this in the mainstream media. But looking at, and we talk about this show. In fact, Minocqua Brewing Company, yeah, they went after the vouchers in Wisconsin. But in Arizona, a full expose of the voucher program in there. And then really got to, though, talk to an expert finally, not a journalist who tries to act like they understand education. Truly went to Save Our Schools and got this person. She has 12 years experience teaching elementary and middle school. She's a seasoned expert in K-12 education policy. She's also a dedicated mom and a passionate advocate. And she is the director, founder of SOS Save Our Schools Arizona. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Save Our Schools, Arizona. Beth Lewis, how are you doing, Beth?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm great. Coming to you from hot Arizona.
Yeah, we were talking about that. It's a little bit, you know, unseasonably or weirdly hot, because it's kind of like, for a lot of us outside of Arizona, it's like, well, it's always hot there, Beth. What do you mean it's hot?
It's hot, but it's humid. I don't know how y'all do it. The dry heat thing is real and it works. And right That's now, we're just, it's not working out for us.
So, Beth, before we get into this, you know, the vouchers, what's happening in Arizona, Save Our Schools Arizona. Talk a little bit about where Save Our Schools Arizona came, how it got founded. You give us some mechanics, what's happening with the organization.
Yeah, thanks. So we started in 2017. We were just moms and teachers that were going down to the Capitol after Trump got elected, trying to figure out what on earth was going on with classroom funding. And, you know, why was this lady, Betsy DeVos, becoming Secretary of Education? And lo and behold, they dropped a universal voucher bill in our legislature. And we got to watch sort of like the crazy political shenanigans that went down. And so we sat around a kitchen table and we're like, what are we going to do about this? Like, this will destroy our public schools. And so we did a referendum. We had to collect 110,000 signatures in 3 months in the Arizona heat. And everybody was like, oh, there's no way you could do this. You guys have no political experience. You know, you're just a bunch of moms. And we're like, well, watch us. And we did put it on the ballot in 2018. Voters rejected it 2-1. They absolutely stomped on that referendum. You know, vouchers never win when they're on the ballot. And that was true in Arizona. And then we kind of formalized and we said, well, we did this thing, but the voucher pushers aren't going to stop, so we can't stop either. And sure enough, they came back every single year. They tried to push, you know, more and more expansions. And then in 2022, they did the ultimate, you know, universal voucher expansion, the first and least accountable, most expansive in the entire country. And now we all have to sit here and deal with the devastating impacts of that decision.
Well, so, and that's the history there too, is Save Our Schools. And this, you know, what I like though too, is what you talked about here, Beth. It's, you know, a bunch of people, it's like a bunch of moms, but you're the, you know, not the Moms for Liberty. And I love Save Our Schools finally getting some media exposure because of the hard work that you guys are doing. And people are thinking, are going, SOS, maybe there's one in my state. There very well may be. In fact, look across. It was, you know, the early to the Save Our Schools. Some people are going, I remember in 2011 or 12 when Matt Damon spoke in Washington, D.C. Yeah, that was kind of the origins of grassroots, truly grassroots parents, students, teachers, activists getting together and saying, save our schools. Because Beth, you highlighted very much what you knew in 2017 was they were coming for public education as we know it, whether it's in the vouchers. And so, yeah, if you're out there listening going, see if there is a Save Our Schools, but get this movement, because I was really looking forward to having you on, Beth, because I think the Save Our Schools movement needs to be reignited across this country. And so when you're talking about the voucher expansion into Arizona, we know the expansion in Wisconsin. We know the expansion in Ohio. We know the expansion in Florida. It's expanding everywhere. And so thank you for the hard work, first of all, that you and Save Our Schools Arizona is doing out there.
Oh, thanks for the thanks. It's exhausting, but it is so worth it. I know you all, well, you, Tim, are in Wisconsin. We work with the amazing folks at the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We are not all affiliated under the name Save Our Schools, but there are organizations like ours and Wisconsin Penn in every single state. And I'm happy to connect you. So just reach out on Twitter, whatever your social media is, and get you connected, because you're right, Tim.
Yeah, it's good because the movement, yeah, because it's just going to continue. And as you say, as they point out really in the CNN here, is that the unaccountable, but then, you know, the vouchers, let's do this. So we have to always do this. Vouchers 101 in Arizona. What are they? How do they work? And why is Save Our Schools Arizona saying no vouchers?
Yeah, so a voucher is basically, you know, just the government handing over $7,000 to $40,000 on a debit card or in an account for anybody to use, basically however they wish, with very few guardrails in Arizona, which I know sounds bananas, but it's really true. So folks can use it for anything that's deemed educational by our totally wackadoodle Department of Education run by a superintendent who really doesn't believe in public schools. And so a lot of folks who are using the voucher are people who always chose private school. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. But now they're taking this huge amount of money that our state cannot afford and nobody budgeted for. There are also a lot of folks that are using it to homeschool. Most folks will tell you it does not cost $7,000 per child to homeschool. And so there's tons of waste in the system. And you can even see all of these Facebook posts of parents saying, I don't even know how to spend all of this money, you know, like crowdsourcing ideas of like, I have all this extra money, what could I do with it? And so they're coming up with like, you know, kayaks and bounce houses and water park admission. And the Department of Education is just greenlighting all of this. We had a report last week that said that they were buying, there was an $1,800 collectible Star Wars Lego set.
I was gonna say that Arizona is the news story with people buying like Johnny the ultra ultimate Lego sets, you know, like with a Millennium Falcon you can actually take between planets once you build it, you know, it's fully got the work. Yeah, I mean thousands of dollars, you know, unaccountable. But you know, Johnny, when we've talked about that, we kind of hinted that in Florida there was some noise about some of the vouchers being used on Disney trips in you know, things like that. But the reality now, though, is Beth, these aren't fake stories. This is what's happening, because the money, if I'm a person, what you're saying is, and so I potentially homeschool my kids, and I'm like, wait a minute, I now have access to upwards of minimum $7,000 that's mine. The state doesn't ask me for receipts to say, how did you spend this the right way? Or there's not guardrails. Or is it just, I make the connection of going, well, it's a bounce house and we're studying the physics of bouncing.
Right. Yeah. They do ask for the receipts, right? And there's a review process, but that's the process, right? Is saying, well, you know, I saw a basketball hoop at a local public school that serves 1,000 kids. So I should get to have a basketball hoop in my front yard for PE for my kid, you know, same with like a piano in every living room. It's just completely washes away the entire idea of public education. And it's actually really fiscally irresponsible and is being pushed by people who champion themselves as, you know, the responsible ones. So yeah, it's open to a ton of grift. We've got private schools that are jacking up their tuition rates because, you know, free enterprise system's going to do what it's going to do. And we also have a lot of subpar strip mall schools that are popping up everywhere. And there's no regulation. There's no safety regulation. So we have no idea if the folks in front of kids are qualified teachers, whether they're teaching qualified curriculum, whether they're teaching that, you know, I don't know, Jesus rode a dinosaur 6,000 years ago. We don't know, but we do know that they're not accredited and they're popping up everywhere. And we even have like micro schools opening in people's garages and nobody knows whether kids are learning next to like power tools.
Our guest is Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools, Arizona. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, you can give us a call, 855-752-4842. Vouchers in Arizona. CNN did a huge story last week. Beth was featured in that story. You kind of hinted, though, too. I want to ask the question, wait, Jesus and dinosaurs, that didn't happen? Oh, wait, that can be taught. Hey, people in a public school, that's what we want to get into. What are the accountable regulations that go in? Or actually, there aren't very many. And really, this, who's drawing on this unregulated tax money? Who are the people grabbing the vouchers? It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Give us a call when we get back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice.
pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value parts store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guests, director, executive director Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools Arizona. The number is 855-752-4842. Sherry and Horicon, thank you for saying good evening, Johnny. We always love when Sherry's out there texting in to tell us hello. Appreciate that. Johnny Lupinacci. So we were talking about the vouchers, and we say, you know, what's happening in your state with vouchers? So what's happening in Florida? What's happening in Wisconsin? What's happening in Ohio? What's happening in Arizona sounds very much like what they've kind of warned us about. So before we get into how vouchers are being used, Beth, I was wondering, though, the question of going, but why did somebody originally say, hey, we should give kids a voucher so they can go to private schools? I mean, what was the original thought there?
It's a complicated answer. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the segregation academies in the 60s that were a result of Brown versus Board, like, you can point to the very, very racist roots of the original voucher system, which was championed then by Milton Friedman, right, who is obviously not a friend to public education and, you know, not a good guy. But then if we look at sort of the modern iteration, there's been a lot of money poured into these fights across the states. And it's always starting with sort of like a sympathetic audience. Like, we want to help low-income students. We want to help children of color. We want to help students with special needs. And it's been proven time and time again that these special interests are really just trying to wedge open the door, right, to sort of condition folks in that state to maybe think that vouchers are a good idea. And they started in Arizona with special education students. But it's, you know, it's taken different pathways in different states. But bottom line, we know that's not the kids that it's benefiting.
No, we put that out there, too, because, you know, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, the home of vouchers, we said it was put forth as, yeah, we're going to give kids, poor kids, typically minority poor kids who are in failing public schools, we're going to give them an exit path to a private school or the school of their choice where they can take their tax money that would be going to that local failing public school, and they can kind of put it in their backpack and go find a thriving private school or a home school, but they can get, you know, it's the escape. And as you pointed out, Beth, now 40 years later, we have the research and academic escape. No, it doesn't do that. In fact, looking at Josh Cowan's research out of Michigan State University, the academics actually suffer when kids take vouchers and leave the public schools. So they're not there. But now, Johnny Lupinacci, wondering about you, though, man, you're thinking about this. How we kind of, you know, we're rehashing in one way a story that we've heard lots and lots of times, but the idea that Beth was kind of indicating here, the unaccountable or even the kind of no boundaries. So you as a parent, Johnny, you can now dip into $7,000 and do what you want with it. I was wondering what you were thinking about that.
Well, I think that's a flippant comment on how it works. But that's how sometimes news and radio works, right, Tim? It's not, yeah, you know, it's not just you get to do whatever, although it's pretty loose in some places and it's being tested out. And I'll match that with an equally flippant comment in politics. for a long time, we test the boundaries in Arizona. We do it with radical politics. We do it with radical conservatism. It's saying like, hey, let's see how far we can push it. And Arizona's led us in that. Like, hey, we can push the boundaries this far. We can have a neo-Nazi run for office. They might not win, but we can see how far. Mm. And Arizona, unfortunately, been, and that's not to speak ill of the great teachers that I work with in Phoenix, that I work with in Tucson. There's amazing people in Arizona. So when we talk about these places, we got to be careful not to be like the big bad Arizonans, right? Because it's not representative of the people of Arizona. And Beth can attest to that. As she said, you know, never underestimate a mom, let alone a bunch of moms, let alone moms that are also experienced educators, right? And so, you know, I think to kind of get back to that, though, Tim, we see these boundaries being tested in places like Arizona, in places like Florida, and now 12 states. Well, in Oklahoma, it's a little different, right? Because it's a tax credit. But there is a problem, and it's an education problem in this country. I don't agree with this particular solution, but something has to happen. Something has to be different about how we support good schools, because no kid should have to go to a bad school. And right now, depending on either how you look, where you live, or how much money your family has, kind of determines what kind of school you can be in this country. And so that just should never be the case. So we back way up and say, hey, if we funded our public schools instead of tried these other things, and I'll get to my punchline. These other things are really not trial and error. They're intentional, and they're about creating a marketplace, more spending. So that $7,000, Tim, you asked me what I would do with, it's economic stimulus in the in the camouflage of, hey, we're going to help families educate their kids. Really, they just want more money going into, they want more basketball hoops sold. Because I think Beth hit the nail on the head. She said, you know, like, these are supposed to be fiscal conservatives. They're not. They want money spent, money spent, money spent, money spent, which is money made for the big box stores and the industries that they're supporting. So rather than support a public municipal system where they say like, hey, we have parks that we share, we have good PE curriculums, you can play rec basketball. In fact, we even have youth centers and things like that that may be nonprofit or community run. And we fund those through government, municipalities, and tax dollars, right? Well, that sure sounds like a whole lot of Democrat talk, doesn't it, Tim? You know, so that become this whole thing is like, we want free market. Beth, you should have a hoop at your house. Johnny should have a hoop at his house. In fact, if we want our kids to swim, we should be able to buy swimming pools. And the case being made here, though, is that there is an educational component. Because I will tell you, as a STEM teacher, I've bought Lego sets. I think it's a great way to teach kids, right? I've taken kids to amusement parks, specifically as a high school physics teacher. I know, Tim, you know, like, you're in Ohio, man. We went to Cedar Point three times a year, right? So, I mean, but we also learned while having fun together. Those are great things that our public schools can do, and in fact, do better. And yeah, I'm saying it, do better than we can individually. And you know this, Tim, like, I've chosen homeschool in certain contexts. So I will say, like, it does cost more than $7,000. So this is just money camouflage to spend. Like, this is just like to get industry, to make more money, to get spending. It has nothing to do with improving education. It really doesn't. And like Beth is saying, it's taking money away from things we really do need to invest in as a community.
Yeah, Beth.
Well, I think the context in Arizona matters too, where, I mean, I know all of our states are underfunded to a degree, but Arizona being 49th in per student spending in the entire country means like there is no fat to trim, right? So every time money leaves via a voucher, like, it is leading to huge school closures, teacher layoffs. And so it's really, as a teacher, like, seeing families taking out collectible Lego sets when we have to beg and scrimp and save and, you know, borrow in order to do just the absolute basics. Like, as a PTO leader for my school this year, we were begging for copy paper and Kleenex.
Yeah. See, it's Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools Arizona, Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Hey, give us a call when we get back. Ask some questions here, because you have big exposure in CNN last week about what's happening in Arizona. And a lot of this money, though, going to, and we're going to hit this when we get back, unaccountable religious private schools. And what's the issue there? More Busted Pencils when we get back.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The presidential campaign returns to Wisconsin today, the second anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is stumping for President Biden in Milwaukee, Eau Claire, and Hudson today. She headlines a rally in Madison tonight. Wisconsin State School Superintendent says education officials could have done more to inform the public about financial problems at Milwaukee Public Schools.
When it comes to financial reporting and it comes to how, you know, the community is informed, we can do better. And we are looking at ways to make that more transparent.
Jill Underly tells WISN-TV's Upfront her Department of Public Instruction is focused on getting Milwaukee schools back into compliance. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Rice Lake native has punched his ticket to the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris. At the Olympic qualifiers over the weekend, Kenny Bednarek finished second in the 100-meter dash to qualify for the event with a 9.87-second sprint. According to a WEAU report, it's the first time that Bednarek will run the 100-meter dash on the international stage. Bednarek is better known for his success in the 200-meter dash, and he is scheduled to compete in the Olympic qualifiers for that race later this week. Duluth residents got a chance to take advantage of Spirit Mountain on a discount over the weekend. Spirit Mountain held their Spirit Loves Duluth Days event over the weekend, which gives residents the chance to get admission to different rides at the Adventure Park for just $5 per ride. The regular event is a way for Spirit Mountain officials to show their appreciation for the Duluth community and encourage them to get outside and get active. Spirit Mountain also holds a similar event during the winter months. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Swift's album Tortured Poets Department is working its way towards some big-time music industry records. Variety says the album has been number one on the charts since its debut 8 weeks ago. If Poets manages to stay there another 6 weeks, which critics say is very possible, Swift will break the all-time record for an album at the top of the charts since the first day of its release of 14 weeks set by Stevie Wonder for his album Songs in the Key of Life. If she makes it to 16 weeks, she will break the record for an album by a female artist at number one for consecutive weeks, currently held by Carole King for her album Tapestry. Swift already holds the record for a solo artist having combined albums in the number one slot, which is 77 weeks. The record for most combined weeks for an album in the top spot by solo or group artists is held by the Beatles at 132. She's got 55 weeks to go. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be strong with heavy rainfall, damaging wind gusts, and large hail. A low in the low 60s. Sunshine's back for tomorrow, less humid but still warm with highs in the low 80s. Beautiful Wednesday, sunny and low 70s. Right now it's 80.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a totalitarian Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We prepare for a presidential debate, most important in your lifetime.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Number's 855-752-4842. Yeah, give us a call. Our guest, Save Our Schools Arizona, Beth Lewis, featured in the CNN story last week that really dug deep into the Arizona vouchers. And so, but the illustration in Arizona, we know in Wisconsin, pretty much unaccountable. And the unrestricted, you know, kind of income threshold that allow people to get these, you know, Wisconsin has pretty much done away with it. In Ohio, where we're at, you know, part of us, you know, they kind of, but still, even upwards to like $150,000, you still can claim an 80% of the cost of public school tuition voucher. So the idea here, too, is that this idea that this money is going to families and students who don't have access to resources. Beth, one of the findings from CNN was that in Arizona, well over 50% of the money that went to vouchers, they found out that these were over 50% of the parents, their kids were already in private schools to begin with.
Yeah, and that's a very conservative number. Like most data shows nearly 75%. So yeah, we're paying an extra $500 million that we weren't paying for student education before, and our legislature simply failed to budget for that. And so we have this massive budget deficit in our state. And our vouchers are driving nearly half of that deficit, along with our crazy flat tax cuts for the rich. And so, yeah, rich people are benefiting from this predominantly. Of course, there are low-income people that are using the program, but the vast majority of people are in high-income areas.
You think about that, Johnny, right? I mean, because this is kind of one of the differences here. You know, when you used to hear people say, well, you know, give the kid in a failing school a backpack full of their own cash, and they can take that money, leave the public failing public school and go somewhere else. And so that's a visual when people think of that. But what Beth is saying, and what we know is happening in Wisconsin too, with our friend Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner, is that a lot of the money that is, this isn't money that was in a public school that now went with that student to a private school. These are people that were in private schools, and so they're getting money. And what's happening, and I know this is one of the issues, Johnny, because what will happen is that there won't be enough money for public schools because the over expense of vouchers, you know, we talk about this being a states' rights issue, and if states would just fund their public schools adequately, well, but you can't account for this, dude, to fund the schools adequately if people are taking money that they never even thought was going to be spent.
You're asking me, Tim?
Yeah, I'm throwing, sorry, John. Oh. I was throwing that out to you. Sorry about that.
Tim, I think you know my stance on this. I think they're like, I'm against the vouchers. I think it's a bad idea. I think it doesn't only decimate public education. If you want to find a way to create economic stimulus or to give some kind of discount for people who are in private schools, right, or choose that, great, still fund your schools. Like, it doesn't get you out of funding your state schools. If a state says we want to go above and beyond and we really want to support all these private schools in our state, you know, hopefully they're good quality private schools and not these for-profit kind of, you know, like new versions of like their own curriculum. There's still got to be some accountability to what constitutes a school. It's kind of like an airport. Tim, I can't open an airport up because I'm an enthusiast and I'm pretty good at flying, and I'm not, but I'm just saying, like, you can't just open one up. There's regulations, even if you're private airport versus public. Same thing for hospitals. Same things ought to be true for schools, and they just aren't in a lot of our states. It's sort of like, well, if you want to have a school, just say you have a school and go. So that's a big problem. And I think vouchers doesn't solve our education problem. What it does is it creates more, like, I like how Beth said it, more irresponsible spending that doesn't go towards quality education for anybody. And then, so when we talk about it, so when you say, like, how do I think about it? I mean, I'd love for the times where I've chosen private schools, because I will say there are places where public schools are not serving their community. And I worked in them.
right? And it was really tough. It didn't mean I turned my back on public schools and said, hey, I don't believe in you as a concept. I just said, you are failing to meet the needs of our community. You are more dangerous than what supposedly would be a less diverse. Like, private schools aren't always in every place not diverse and not more, you know, in terms of meeting human rights. And some districts, some public schools are very conservative and dangerous for certain kids to go to. So in those contexts, it's a gray area, even in that moment. So if you say, hey, you can get a tax break for kids going to that, probably would have helped a lot of those families who were making that necessary choice that the safest place or the best education for my kid wasn't in the local public school. That doesn't mean we can't fund public schools. You still got to fund them, but you got to also address the fact that, like, not all schools are safe and good places for kids or teachers. So for me, it's a big conversation about no to vouchers. Absolutely not. That just throws gasoline on a fire that we're trying to put out. And the putting out the fire, the end goal is good quality education for every child in this country, right? If private schools want to exist, great. They can exist. They just cost money somewhere. If you have money to go to them, good. But they shouldn't be a necessity for anybody. Mm-hmm. And in too many of our districts where it's politicized, they are. I mean, schools are not safe places for kids, all kids to go to right now. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it does get complicated for me, and it gets highly politicized because I'm against vouchers, but I'm against that some of the angles that are taken up in the argument against them.
But I want to hit you on the one thing, though, too. And Beth, you can jump in here when you say not safe, because what we really saw, particularly illustrated in Arizona, is, Johnny, a lot of this money going to very unsafe, and we're going to use that word, religiously ferocious, you know, kind of Christian nationalistic, very anti-LGBTQ, anti-special education. And again, truly saying we're not a safe school and you're not welcome here. The whole idea here, right, Beth?
There's a lot of that. Yeah. And the CNN story, you know, highlighted one that's associated with Turning Point, which is a Charlie Kirk Trump MAGA association. But that is just the tip of the iceberg. There are tons of these schools, MAGA type schools, in their statements of faith that they require students and teachers to sign. They say homosexuality is sinful. Marriage is between a man and a woman. There are two genders. Right. And so already right out of the gate, they're picking and choosing their kids. So it's not school choice, right? It's the school doing the choosing. There's tons of hate that is being funded by my taxpayer dollars, which I absolutely abhor. And in Arizona, like, I understand the situation that you're describing, Johnny, and I there are definitely different situations across the states, but we have open enrollment. So any kid can go to any school. Any school in any district. I can send my kid anywhere. We also have 20% of our public schools are charter schools. So I can literally send my kid anywhere they want to go. I don't need a voucher, right? The private schools don't want my kids. The elite private schools that are worth their salt and actually accredited already have the kids they need. They're not the ones that are building new campuses, right? Because they already have these beautiful campuses that are already funded by the majority wealthy people and then the scholarship kids that they've already selected for their school campus. But instead, we're seeing all of these crazy private schools that are MAGA affiliated pop up in strip malls, in churches, in church basements. I mean, it is creepy. And if that's what parents want to do for their kids, fine. But I do not want my taxpayer dollars going to fund it.
Johnny, I see you nodding away.
Yeah, I think Beth and I are on the same page with that. I mean, it's like, yeah, you, like, this is creating a bigger problem in education. We do not need these zero accountability schools, you know, that it can even be new and be a great school. Just be accredited, be of high quality, hire quality teachers, and share that mission that, like, public education writ large, even with accountability, we could even fold in. We've talked about this, Tim. I know you don't want to green light this because it's like we're deep in the trenches. Because we're like, vouchers, bad idea. Charters, by and large, we're part of this, and like, we're a bad idea, but we're in them now. So accountability for charters, being part of a district, being part of a community, like Beth said, being accessible to students without tuitions, without vouchers. They're just funded as part of the public school system. So it like, no free market for education. Like, let's have accountability and quality. And then the religious elite schools or even the academies that are not religious, they've always existed since before we were even a country.
Right.
They'll continue to exist. And they just kind of, like Beth said, they do their own thing. They're not on this. So the vouchers don't really help or hurt them. They just jack their, they can just raise their tuition a little bit more and like tell people everyone got a 10% discount.
Yeah. Now you all get a performing arts center and a new football field, right? Because we just magically raised our tuition. Great. But it's the same kids that are going there, right? There's just more money into the school. I totally agree with you, Johnny. And like, I was just talking to my friend who was born in Egypt and she's in Egypt for the summer. And she was telling me like, yeah, there's not really public schools here. So basically it's like a voucher system, but everything's private. And so they'll give you a tiny voucher, right? It's not exactly a voucher, but if you don't have the money to go to a private school, you just don't. And I'm like, well, what do you do if you're, if you can't afford school for your 8-year-old? She's like, well, they just don't go to school. They work. And that's exactly what's going to happen in this country if we go to a fully privatized system. I think it's really important to point out that Trump has said if he's elected president, he wants to pass a universal voucher across the entire country, right? That's part and parcel of Project 2025. And, you know, if we think, Johnny, you nailed it when you talked about the airport, right? Like, we should not be privatizing these things, though. Like, look at healthcare, look at the prison system. Anytime you privatize something that is for the public good, you turn people into commodities. And guess who gets the good service? It's the rich people who have privilege and access and resources. Everybody else gets screwed. And that's what's going to happen if we privatize public education in this country. It's a really dangerous path. And I don't think we have a solid democracy if we don't have public education.
Beth, that's Lewis, it. Arizona, save our schools, dropping some truth and some heat. 855-752-4842. Beth, I mean, what you hit there too, and Johnny, this is, you know, we say it every show, almost every show, public education, you just hit it, foundation of democracy. And it may not be perfect, but it's got that promise or that potential where we say it's supposed to be and we need to push it. But the idea of really recognizing that in a democracy, the function of a public school system really is to, you know, people are like, oh, literacy, math. Yeah, but it's really, 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 really important to socialize people into being responsible, active citizens. And the attack on public schools, really, to realize this is to say this is an attack on democracy. Beth, that's what you were going with.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the vision for Heritage Foundation, the DeVos family, right, is a Christian nationalist nation that subscribes to sort of a Trumpist MAGA ideology. And that's why we're seeing these schools pop up in Arizona. That's why we're seeing vouchers go this route. And that's why they've invested so many hundreds of millions of dollars in pushing vouchers. It's not pro-democracy. It's certainly not, you know, pro-real education. I think we're watering down education. We're ruining the futures of many, many students. And ultimately, I think we'll watch the unraveling of our democracy here in Arizona and then across the country if we go this route. So we're fighting back hard.
Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools Arizona. Where can people check you out? Where should they look at Save Our Schools Arizona? How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so we are on Twitter. Let's see. I should know this, but I always get it wrong. It's AZ_SOS.
We'll put it out for people too. Okay. So they'll
find you and put it out to folks, but fine, they'll find you.
At @Arizona_SOS. I got
okay.
it.
All right. It's Beth Lewis, man. Beth, Save Our Schools Arizona, and your team, thank you for busting pencils.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It was great to meet you.
All right. Tim and Johnny breaking it down when we get back. Busted pencils. Come on back with us right after the break.
About it. Responsibility, what's that? Responsibility, not quite yet. Responsibility, what's that? I don't want to think about it. We'd be better off without it. I don't want to think about it.
You're You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and an answer to the question, how often should I take my car in to get it serviced? As somebody who's worked on cars and knows a little bit about them, I admit that my instincts here are 100% wrong. I always want to say, oh, I'll just know when it's time. I'll feel it. But that's pretty hard to make a plan or a budget around. And my husband has made an honest car owner out of me by scheduling our maintenance on the calendar according to the book that everybody has and nobody reads, the manual in your glove compartment. Yep, even the motorheads over at CarTalk.com, remember that old Car Talk radio show that was one of my favorites, you know, with Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers? They say that taking your car in on the schedule dictated by the people who made it is the best way to keep it in shape. So grab that manual. And if you want more tips on saving, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You know it. Last segment, Busted Fence was fully led in education talk, educated educators talking education. Numbers 855-752-4842. Speaking of that number, we got CJ on the line. CJ, what's happening out there, friend?
Hey, thank you, Busted Pencils, for taking my call.
Sure, man.
I have a question. What it costs per student for a Wisconsin, you know, K through 12? What does it cost the per pupil? I'm curious on that. And then I have one other question about, you know, school choice, you know, but I'm curious what it does cost.
Well, so the average per pupil spending in Wisconsin is, again, different numbers, but $11,000 to $13,000 annually is the per pupil spending.
Well, okay, I appreciate that info. I guess my question is, people won't be so interested in school choice if the public schools were performing. And I'm not blaming the teachers. I'm blaming the parents more than anything for not requiring their kids to perform in school. So I get why people, it shouldn't even be an issue if public schools had results. And if you read the results, it's pretty sad how, you know, the proficiency in reading, writing, and arithmetic all across the state. There are some schools that are performing better than others, mm-hmm. but, you know, I get why parents may make that choice if schools are not performing.
Johnny.
Absolutely, CJ. Thanks for calling. And we're going to call back sometime, CJ. We could talk more because I got to cut you short because we only got a couple minutes to wrap up the show and we opened up a lot tonight. But I love CJ's point. You know, the per pupil, you know, every state sets a budget and spends a certain amount per student. And so I think Timmy said on average, I always think in my head, it's like 12.5 in upwards of 16, low end of 11 in Wisconsin. You know, in different states, it's a different amount. But, you know, that's sort of like per pupil. But I'm with CJ too, except CJ, I'm not blaming parents. That's an angle that doesn't get me anywhere, but I am holding schools responsible. Like you, CJ, I agree. We wouldn't have or need this mess, but now like you, CJ, I'm not blaming the teachers or the school leaders. Well, sometimes I'm hard on those school leaders.
Yeah, we are.
They have some pull. But I know a lot of great principals whose hands are tied in this mess too. And so I just think in general, schools ought to be held accountable. And CJ, we're on the same page. A strong public school system shouldn't fail any large group, right? There's always going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be some struggles. That's how democracy works. But when by and large, it only serves or advantages a few at the cost of many, it's a failing system. and schools are failing children in this country. And so we both agree on that problem. The solution has been, so let's make it a free market. And I think that's a bad move. I think the solution is to fund and absolutely make every school a great school. We wouldn't have this problem. We wouldn't have to be choosing other schools. Mm. Right. And so, you know, that's the big thing I get into. Should we take a call from Mark real quick? We got Mark on the phone. No,
We got, but he's putting out a question, you know, the results, and we'll talk about that because CJ too, when you do though, talk about the results, I know this whole idea, and Johnny, we've had so many conversations. What is proficiency? Like those rankings, cool. CJ, we got to look at this, but the research though, CJ, on private school accountability, when private schools are held to the same standard, when they are held to the same standard as public schools, and when you compare students in private schools who got vouchers, who left the public schools compared to the public schools, it just doesn't come out that the private schools make an academic difference.
I disagree, Tim. I think this is a bogus argument.
When you try
and pit success of a private school against success of a public school, you're like trying to say what's better, hot dogs or hamburgers. I mean, it gets really subjective. And in fact, you know, good public schools and good private schools ought to land kind of on the same place. And they do.
When you compare them.
But bad public schools against a really good public school, it's like an unfair fight. A great public school against a really, really crummy private school, it's not going to like. So the in general, this is like. Like saying, what if ants fought bears? What if bears went up against a shark? Who would win? This has been, by and large, I think, how the education argument gets framed. And it's all just smoke and mirror distraction from the fact of, like, schools need to be high quality. They are a function of government. They are owed to the people. People pay taxes for these kinds of things. If that's not the country you want to be in, then don't live in a democracy. But a democracy is about that kind of piece of thing. So if you like democracy, get over to Monaco Brewing Company, grab a beer with them. They're a great place. You know, check them out. You can buy the beer online. But Tim, we got to get back to this too, because I would be remiss if I didn't get to add this piece in. We would be fools. And we're kind of foolish. We might at times find ourselves on a ship of fools, Tim. You know how we are. But we would be foolish. And we are a little foolish sometimes. But we would be missing a huge thing. And doing a disservice to so many of our listeners and so many of the friends and family we have across this country going to schools, if we didn't say that by and large, American public schools are Christian schools. Mm. They're not safe places for people with diverse religions. They ought to be. They're not safe places for all our LGBTQ children. And that's not a religion, but that's their life, their identity, their being. They're not safe places all the time for Jewish families. They're not the safe place for Muslim families. They're not the safe place. They are, by and large,
they're supposed to be, though.
They're supposed to be. But I'm just going to say, as someone who's been through the system and in the system, right, and is in it, I can't just say, hey, there's these religious schools that they are doing. They're using tax dollars to do religious stuff. News check. Public schools do it way worse and get away with it. And so I'm holding them all accountable, saying that if you really do want separation of church and state, it doesn't exist. So quit dreaming. And figure out how to coexist all together. And that's a topic for many shows. I just can't be here and say, there's a religious movement to have religious schools. Like, have you been in a public school? Like, it's mostly white values, Christian Judeo doctrine.
We got to come back on this one because Johnny Lupinacci and Tim Slecker, it's going to be the great debate. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Beth Lewis, thank you, Save Our Schools, Arizona. Check y'all out tomorrow. Jonathan Gurko, AQ.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll recap the overnight storms. Hopefully everyone is okay. Then we're going to talk to Eitan Levine about his quest to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.